Hello, you're listening to Shoes on a Wire on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. I'm Madeline Taylor, and Shoes on a Wire is your one-stop shop for music by women and LGBTQ artists. Today on the show, I have an interview with Toronto post-punk art rock trio Nikki Fierce. So category is Nikki Fierce. They are touring Western Canada with Hooded Fang in support of their new EP, Man-Made Woman, and they will be playing the Biltmore Cabaret this coming Monday, July 23rd with The Gins, who are an opening support act. You can check out the event on Facebook for more info. So I had the chance to catch up with Nikki Fierce yesterday while they were driving through Manitoba. We talked about their origins as musicians, their influences, the Me Too movement, and how that's impacted the Toronto scene, as well as what they're excited about and what they're thinking about while they're on the road. So before we get to the interview, I want to play one of my favorite songs from their EP. This is My Shadow.
Yeah. So my name's MZ. I go by she and her. I play bass and sing.
Hi, this is Evangeline. I go by she, her, and I play guitar and sing in Nikki Fierce.
My name is Claire, pronouns she, her. I'm the drummer and I sing in Nikki Fierce.
Yeah, first of all, where are all of you from, and then how did you start playing music?
So we're all from Toronto. We grew up in the Beaches area. We went to high school together, and we started playing music. We were best friends in high school, and we were really bored one summer, and we got really inspired by the Runaways movie about the all-girl rock band, the Runaways, and so we just decided to start a band.
Yeah. So we basically didn't know our instruments at all, at least in terms of bass and drums. I'm Evangeline, and I play guitar. I knew a little bit, but basically we just went for it without knowing what we were doing.
Yeah, like I started on keys, but I never took any piano lessons. I just kind of plunked around on them, and we were like, oh, this sounds good, this sounds cool, whatever. And just kind of, we've got some really old recordings that are pretty hilarious in how but they're pretty good, actually, some of them, but just a bit embarrassing. Yeah, it really became a big outlet for us to express what it's like growing up as women and trying to become grown women.
It was always Nikki Fierce. I remember we were trying to decide what to name it. We were looking at, like, lipstick colors, like Ruby Luster. But we landed on Nikki Fierce just from this movie called How to Be. It's this old, like, British comedy, pretty obscure. And it's just this character named Nikki Fierce. He's this guy, and he's a bit of a loser. And he plays drums in a quirky little band, and we just decided to name it after him.
Do you, like, still have good feelings about that character? Does it still sort of, like, work for you? Or do you feel like what the band means is something totally different from the character now?
I think in high school, it was kind of like our alter identity in a way, because, you know, we weren't super popular or whatever. I didn't really have boyfriends at all in high school or anything. So we or partners or whatever. And so it was definitely a big outlet for us. And the guy's name in the movie, he changed his name because he wanted to be cooler, kind of, and have this alternative identity. And so in that sense, it worked a lot back then, and it still works because it, you know, it empowers us.
So you came together in high school, and you were talking about the Runaways movie as, like, a big inspiration initially. Did you have other bands and other, like, genres of music besides that sort of 70s, like, hard rock that inspired you to pick up instruments, or is that, like, the main one that you lean on?
No, we've got, like, bands like the Born Ruffians we listen to a lot, the Kooks. We like the Sonic Youth. We listen to Bombay Bicycle Club, a lot of indie bands that we were inspired by. So musically, a bit more of that, but kind of attitude and ferocity, that was definitely inspired by the Runaways.
Yeah, because there's definitely, like, it's aggressive, but it doesn't come across as, it's very authentic sounding in the way that you've got, like, drive behind some really melodic vocals. So, like, how long did it take for you to kind of figure out a cohesive sound as a band?
It's a good question.
7 years. Yeah. We've been together for 7 years. Yeah, about, like, 7 years we've been playing together. At first, yeah, we didn't really know how to play, so we had to kind of learn our instruments. That was one big step that got us farther. And then,
yeah, I think when we worked with our producer, Josh Carodi, on the album, he kind of just helped us tweak things just enough to really understand what we were doing with our songs. And, like, we sort of applied that thorough editing process to the rest of our music and decided kind of what to keep and what to discard in terms of how we've decided to sound now. And it is really quite different from when we first started out. So not really until recently did we decide on this direction.
So it was mostly, like, in the lead up to this EP?
Yeah, I would say so.
Another band that really, really influenced us was Warpaint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that.
Band. Yeah. And kind of discovering them also helped us kind of moving more that direction, a bit more psychedelic and musical rather than just kind of more punk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense in terms of like visuals and aesthetic as well. Like they're really well matched in terms of what I've seen. Like the cover of your EP, it sort of looks like a sculpture almost. And then there's the moodier lighting and purple and blue and all of that sort of thing. And it's like works really well with the sound of the music. How did you come to decide on those visuals and like move forward with it?
Well, a big theme throughout our album is skin. It's like used in four songs, that word, just like in different contexts, like the idea of shedding a skin, something getting under your skin, like an emotion,
being comfortable in your skin.
Yeah, so kind of something very bodily made sense. And Claire, the drummer, her sister has been doing modeling, and so she's actually the cover image. And so we just kind of took it from that, and the photographer Larry Williamson allowed us to use that, and we paired it with a landscape imagery from our friend Brian, and
put them together. It just seemed to make sense, like the land is Mother Earth kind of thing, and it's like just the idea of femininity as something so essential and so beautiful, something to really, you know,
the folk.
Femininity is something powerful, but also something very deep-rooted in just everything that we are.
Also, man-made woman, the idea of something being man-made is artificial. So I think a lot of our songs address the way women feel they have to be artificial in terms of that idea of man-made. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to just ask about that, because especially like if you're invoking the feminine in terms of the earth and images of Mother Earth and all of that sort of thing. But at the same time, the woman's body on the cover like doesn't have a head, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like she kind of remains an object in that image. And mm-hmm. And it seems like, at least listening more closely to some of your lyrics, a lot of the songs and a lot of the moments within the songs where you're addressing the body, or you're like talking from the perspective of someone, the internal monologue of someone's body. It's like either you're leaning into themes of touch and connection with another person, and sometimes those things are about desire, whereas other times it's like leaning more into fear and violation. So it seems like pretty complicated in terms of where you're moving from. So I wanted to ask, like, first of all, who writes most of the lyrics, or if it's collaborative? And then when you're writing, like, where is that coming from?
So at first we kind of each brought in our own lyrics, and then we would, so if you notice, each of us sings a different song. And so whoever's singing the song is the one that wrote the lyrics for that song, mostly. And then but more recently we've been trying to do kind of more collaborative pieces, but that's not on the Skin is on the EP that was completely collaborated, but yeah, it's just very much experience based and just kind of raw emotion, what we were feeling. It was just really a way of expressing the things we were going through, becoming independent and sexually active and trying to, you know, navigate politics and relationships, and, you know, these are all really hard, and we were all kind of there for each other, and putting it in down in lyrics just made it so much easier to deal with and to make sense of, because it is complicated. That's the difficult part of it, is that there's constantly mm-hmm. these dualities in your mind about what it is to be woman, what you should be like, what you shouldn't be like, how, and it's like, we just needed to be ourselves, and that's kind of how we were able to do that.
Yeah, there are some moments where you're singing, and it seems like you're very much in the perspective of the person who's like experiencing a feeling, and then other times you're like watching someone experience a feeling. So
yeah
I don't know. It's interesting. How does it feel when you're on stage and you're singing about those things? Are you like in the moment of the lyric where you wrote it, or do you find that it sort of takes a different shape when you're performing?
Both. I mean, I think it's you know, a lot of times we want to draw on our past experiences to bring that energy to our performance and the meaning to the song, but it can totally change even for us while we're singing, like, especially with what we're going through at the time, like, the song meaning can kind of totally change for us individually. So, yeah, it's, it just depends, I guess.
But we definitely, every show, remind ourselves, think of the meaning, because the meaning is so important, and it is quite easy to get caught up in
technique
and this stage presence. And it's really when we do focus on the meaning and who we're delivering it to, in particular other women and people who have experienced these things.
And the men who maybe are perpetrators sometimes, or women anyone. Who are, or anyone who's perpetrators.
I've talked to people who, like, just experience, who have experienced gender-based violence, and it's nice that they've told me that our music really resonates with them, so that's a target we try to do.
Well, basically, I think we want to inspire other women, one, to express themselves, and two, to just feel like, you know, this is a normal thing to feel angry about or to feel upset about. It's not something to just shut up about and take, you know, which I feel like is a lot of what we're taught to do. Rather than, you know, shout about it, which is what we want to do. And so we kind of want to validate women who want to scream about things that make them angry, because they should.
Yep, totally. Okay, so are you working on music beyond the EP right now?
Eventually, definitely, we'd like to get there. It's getting hard with such different schedules and other things happening in life, but again, we're going on the more collaborative route with our lyrics and such. So everybody writing in and going on in on the song. So right now we're talking about the Me Too movement in our newest song, which we're premiering on tour, essentially. That in itself is kind of a collective movement, the Me Too movement. And I think the way we're writing the song has really sort of imitated that. And yeah, we are talking about gender-based violence, and not being afraid to call out things for what they are, like rape. And that is something we're being very clear about in our songs and not shying away from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Vancouver music scene specifically, like when Me Too blew up, there were a series of really intense call-outs, and a lot of things have changed in the way the scene operates. And obviously it's not perfect, but there's been movement. So is that similar in Toronto? Like, was there that same kind of moment of reckoning, and what's the fallout been?
Totally. Basically, venue owners that were called out recently in Toronto that definitely needed to be called out for a long, long time, and they hadn't been because of, you know, politics with people's jobs. You don't want to make people lose their jobs, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I've been in situations where I hadn't called someone out, and then later, after the Me Too movement, they were called out, and it was, like, such a breath of relief for me, having experienced sexual harassment from this venue owner. Anyway, so totally, totally. And that's why the song, we feel really important about playing it all over Canada, because it's just kind of sums up what we're about, you know? We want to speak our truth, basically. Speak what we've experienced and not shy away from some of the details that are harder to kind of deal with.
Is that something that you think you'll keep playing, or do you see there being kind of a time frame on when you want to, like, process that in public?
Well, I think that's also going back to your old question about our origin, and us evolving as musicians has had a lot to do with us growing as feminists and learning how to be the truest versions of ourselves. And so I think Nikki Fierce is also like looking at Nikki Fierce as someone other than ourselves, our alter ego. She's a feminist icon, and without feminism, I don't think Nikki Fierce exists. Would you guys say that? Yeah. So this is something that is therapeutic to ourselves, and in a way, it's becoming more and more political I mean, when we were young, it was harder to pinpoint why we were feeling this way as cisgendered women. But I think it's important to speak about it. Like Emily was saying, it's voicing our truths, and I think that's what makes our music what it is. So yes, it will continue.
That's really powerful. So you're talking about newer songs that you're addressing, specifically the Me Too movement. Are there any other themes that sort of branch off from feminism, and especially like modern feminism, that you're going to be working through in lyrics?
I think we're just going to have to see.
We'll just see. We haven't experienced. Yeah, we just kind of write with what we experience. And, you know, I'm sure we'll come across a lot of more shit to write about.
Yeah, as life happens, right?
You know, yeah, I definitely would like to write a song about, you know, starting to be attracted to women more. And that might be a new theme that we could explore.
Cool. Tell me about Hooded Fang. How did the relationship with them develop, and how is touring with them so far?
Well, we haven't really been with them. They're actually flying into Edmonton. So we've just been driving.
Yeah, we're on the road right now. So the tour hasn't actually started yet. But in terms of Hooded Fang and our relationship, funnily enough, we listened to Hooded Fang in high school. So this is like 7 years later, and they saw us play a show and then just decided to reach out to us and ask them to join their tour.
Was that a first for you guys as a band, or is that sort of thing happened before?
First tour. And we also, we agreed to go on tour before we even knew if we had a car or any logistics at all. We just kind of jumped on it like, okay, we'll do it. Which definitely says that we were pretty much just really excited.
That's awesome. How many dates are you doing on this tour?
7 dates. Yeah, there's not too many dates in Ontario. We're currently making our way west through Ontario, and there's nothing until Edmonton. And then we hit Calgary, and we hit Vancouver, and then it's coming back from there. The only date we have back here in our province is Thunder Bay on the way back.
What kind of things are you listening to in the car as you cross the humongous spanses that you have to drive to get here?
Definitely some Beyonce.
Like new Beyonce or old Beyonce?
Well, we were listening to Lemonade earlier.
Do you have any opinions on the Carters record?
I haven't heard it, to be honest, too much. Like, I did hear, I didn't like as much, but I liked her singing more, whereas she was kind of, at least the one song I heard was more talking, but I prefer her singing, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lemonade was sort of the masterpiece, and we'll just kind of leave it at that.
Yeah. We've also been listening to Friggs as well. A lot of Toronto bands. This band called Friggs.
Pretty badass female lead in that band.
Also, what was the other one? The French one? The
Montreal? Les Deluxe.
Les Deluxe.
They're a two-piece. They're pretty awesome.
From Montreal.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Sweet. Are there any dates in particular that you're really excited about as you're coming up to them, heading out for the first time?
All of them. Edmonton should be cool. Definitely Vancouver, because I've never been anywhere in the West, so I'm just excited to drive through all of Canada. It'll be pretty cool to see.
Do you have like solid plans for recording more towards an album right now, or is it still just like you're rolling off of this and just seeing how this tour goes and then moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're always down to write new songs, and we're always down to kind of experiment that way. But yeah, exactly. Right now we're just focused on the EP and playing shows and doing this tour, and then we'll just go with it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And check out Nikki Fierce at the Biltmore on Monday, July 23rd with Hooded Fang.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
It was a really big pleasure.
You just heard an interview with Toronto-based post-punk art-rock trio Nikki Fierce. They were calling in to CITR from Manitoba. So Nikki Fierce are touring with Hooded Fang on their first tour as a band, and you can catch them at the Biltmore on Monday, July 23rd, with the Gins as a supporting opening act. Up next, I've got another track from Man-Made Woman by Nikki Fierce. This is Without Thorns.
Pinch your cheeks, rosy cheeks, bend in half, eyes that always smile
Please voice
That's
this
the
one.
Wrong mic.
I forgot.
You dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Before the break there, you heard Without Thorns by Nikki Fierce, who I featured in an interview during the first half of the show. During our interview, the band mentioned a few influences, and it reminded me of a Runaways song that I've always wanted to play on the radio. So this is my Thursday gift to all of you. You are going to hear Dead End Justice by 1970s teenage thirst trap band, the Runaways.
Gotta have justice. Joe, let's break out of tonight.
Okay, Sheree, what's the plan?
You grab the guard in the prison yard. Get his keys and gun. We'll run.
I'll dance by the side of that.
Is he handsome?
You'll see.
You'll see.
Be safe.
You just heard Hooded Fang with Sister and Sons. Before that was War Paint with Love Is to Die. And starting out the set was The Runaways with Dead End Justice. You've been listening to Shoes on a Wire. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's a slightly shorter episode this week, but I'll be back next week with an interview that I'm very excited to share with listeners. It'll be with Louisville queer punk duo Girlwood, who I recorded with a few weeks ago, so I'm really excited to share that interview. And up next is Democracy Watch, so stay tuned to CITR for that. Cheers, everyone. Take care.